In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the course of the next 10 minutes, the children want, perhaps, the Sunday paper. It's a little coloring insert that we have in our bulletin today, and truth be known, sometimes I look out there and the adults are using it. Feel free. It was Children's Sermon Sunday, and the rector was wondering what to do. He said to himself, "You know, I'm going to use squirrels as my metaphor, because even urban kids know about squirrels. I'm going to use this as a metaphor for seeking and finding." And so the rector called the kids up around the stairs, as we will do a little later in this service, and he said to the children, "Boys and girls, I'm going to describe something to you, and when you know what I'm talking about, I want you to raise your hand." He said, "Boys and girls, this thing lives in trees and eats nuts." And there was dead silence. No hand went up. The rector continued. He said, "Okay, boys and girls, this creature is gray, and it has a long, bushy tail." And the boys and girls looked at each other, but nobody raised their hand. The rector was running out of clues. His metaphor was about to be lost. So he said, "Boys and girls, this creature jumps from branch to branch, and when it gets excited, it flips its tail." And finally, one little girl raised her hand. The rector was so relieved. The little girl said, "I know the answer must be Jesus." When you come to church on Easter Sunday, you expect the preacher to talk about Jesus. And we'll get there. But before we do that, I want to talk about a fellow named Fred Hoyle. Have you heard of Fred Hoyle? He was a British astrophysicist. He was responsible for the discovery of stellar nucleosynthesis, and he worked for a while up here at Caltech. Now, Fred Hoyle was an outspoken atheist. He never missed a chance to take a shot at Christianity. In fact, when the discovery surrounding the Big Bang came to light, Fred Hoyle resisted that because he thought it sounded a little too much like Genesis. Eventually, Fred Hoyle was persuaded by scientific truth. And in 1957, Fred Hoyle was up here at Caltech working with three of his colleagues, and they made an incredible breakthrough. They discovered the principles behind what has come to be called the fine-tuning of the universe. Against impossible odds, our universe is fine-tuned for the emergence of intelligent life. If the ratios between gravitational forces and the structure present in the elements were even a fraction other than they are, life, much less intelligent life, would never have emerged. It is the most astonishing feature of our universe. And this discovery shook Hoyle's atheism to the core. I don't know if Fred Hoyle went on to embrace religious practice, but he did stop vilifying Christianity. And in a 1981 alumni issue of Caltech magazine, he wrote this: "A common sense interpretation of the facts suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with physics as well as with chemistry and biology, and that there are no blind forces in nature. The number one calculates from the facts seemed to me so overwhelming as to put this conclusion beyond question." Now, science does not prove the existence of God. That is not what science is for. Science is about the nuts and bolts of things, not about the meaning of things. But physics may point toward metaphysics, as Aristotle once taught us, and to questions of meaning and purpose, more properly addressed by poetry and literature and religion and the humanities. That's how we muse about meaning. It sounds like I'm talking about squirrels this morning, doesn't it? But I am trying to talk about Jesus. I'm trying to talk about the resurrection. The resurrection is something that I think is best viewed indirectly. Where were you on March 20th? Did any of you go to Norway? This year, March 20th, we experienced a total eclipse of the sun. It was most visible from Norway, from Russia, and from Northern Europe. You couldn't see it here in the Western Hemisphere. But if you go home and you put on Pink Floyd, their album, Total Eclipse of the Sun, you can reprise the event on YouTube. But those who wanted to see the total eclipse of the sun in real time had to use a pinhole projector or eclipse glasses or welder goggles, because you never look at the sun with your naked eyes or through a telescope or through binoculars, because if you do that, you will crisp your retina. And resurrection is a bit that way too. I think the New Testament is a spiritual pinhole projector. It allows us to view an event otherwise unintended for mortal eyes. And so we have St. Paul's account in 1 Corinthians today of 500 who saw Jesus at one time. And in Canon Smith's reading of the Gospel, we hear one of four accounts of the resurrection, sort of like hearing about the total eclipse of the sun from Norway and from Russia and from northern Germany. Magdalene, the central witness in John's Gospel, had stood very near the cross when Jesus drew his last breath. And the next morning she goes to the tomb to anoint her rabbi, but he isn't there. She thinks someone has carted off the body, and she runs to tell Peter and the beloved disciple what has happened, and they all run to the tomb, and they do not understand what has occurred. It takes brilliant people like Fred Hoyle to understand physics. Metaphysics is best done by people who have been close to the cross, people who know suffering in their lives, because suffering and death make us become theologians, whether we like it or not. Even if we become nihilists, we become theologians in the face of death and suffering. Everybody believes certain dogmas, whether they know it or not. We all have stories about the meaning of life. C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." It is not necessary to stare into the sun to derive its benefits. In fact, you will crisp your retinas. And we don't have to have the resurrection figured out in order to walk by its light. So there's Mary. She is standing right in front of the risen Lord, and she doesn't know who he is. She thinks he's the gardener. And then he says, "Mary." He speaks her name, and she is never again the same. How about you and me? When we experience suffering, the death of loved ones in our lives, we can become nihilists. More often, we try all the more frantically to squeeze everything into every moment. We try to squeeze every joy and pleasure and experience into our diminishing lifespans, all or nothing. It can be a great relief to hear your name spoken, to know that your identity is established by God in Christ. Those who are seized by that way of seeing the world, by an Easter perspective, come to know that this isn't really about you and me at all. We're moved off center. We're freed for neighbor love. Is there enough coloring book left for one more story? Helen Keller was blind and deaf from birth, cut off from other people. All she knew was food and how to sleep. In 1887, when Helen Keller was 7 years old, her family commissioned Ann Sullivan to try and reach the child. And Ann Sullivan tried to teach the child, Helen, the alphabet. But Helen had no reference points. Until one day, they were out for a walk, and Ann Sullivan held Helen Keller's hand under a cold stream of water while she traced the word water, letter by letter, into the child's hand. And Helen Keller later wrote in her autobiography, "Suddenly, I felt a misty consciousness, a thrill of thought, and the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew the shapes in my palm meant the wonderful cooling something flowing over my hand. And that living word awakened my soul and gave it light and hope and joy and set it free." This Easter day, the word of resurrection comes like cool water on our hands. "What are you looking for?" Jesus asked Magdalene. "What are you looking for?" Christ asks you today. Are you trying to squeeze every possible satisfaction from your diminishing days? Or are you ready to relax and join yourself to God and deeper purpose? Can you hear your name spoken today? Your identity affirmed? I want you to notice that Magdalene didn't receive a big hug from Jesus. She receives a commission. Total eclipses are fascinating. We know the sun animates our lives, even when it's eclipsed, even when it's shrouded at nighttime. We don't need to stare at it in order to see everything else. And we don't need to understand the event proclaimed at Easter in order to walk in the light of Easter. Later in her life, Helen Keller was asked if there was anything at all worse than being blind. And she said, "Oh, yes, having no vision." Listen today for your name spoken. You don't have to have this figured out, but you're not allowed to cling either. You are commissioned this day for vision and for the mysterious quickening in your heart, and for the work of Christ in this world. Amen.